beloved listeners, welcome to Grace Life Komi Podcast, brought to you by the publication arm of Chimdi Ohuna Ministry International Komi. Our vision is to empower individuals to reach full spiritual completeness in God through the insightful teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Grace Life Komi Podcast offers every believer a continuous stream of fresh, simple, yet deeply impactful teaching episodes that engender the revelation light of Christ Jesus. Our objective is to motivate and uplift individuals through the provision of enlightening content that facilitates a profound exploration of faith. Grace Life Komi Podcast is dedicated to fostering a beneficial impact on the lives of our audience, aiming to positively transform their spiritual journey and enhance their connection with faith. Chimdi and Funke Ohuna delivers teachings that aim to illuminate the profound truth and significance of the person and the work of Christ, providing essential guidance and instruction for nurturing and developing believers in their relationship with Christ. We urge you to remain connected to the Grace Life Komi Podcast and engage with us, a platform where believers can immerse themselves in teachings, cultivate knowledge, and form connections with like-minded seekers of Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord.
The hours of this morning, the Lord, the Holy Spirit began to, drop something in my spirit. Began to drop something in my spirit. And I began to look at it. And I was like, what is the Lord trying to say? And I thought I'll be able to teach it in the teaching we gave. But I was not able to teach it. But, as we're praying, the Holy Spirit began to explain it to me more. And I believe he wants me to drop it because it's important. The first teaching I spoke for 52 minutes, we can't be teaching that one in that one. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants is important. That's how the Holy Spirit will drop it in my spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? And as the Holy Spirit has explained to me, I'm going to be teaching, I'm showing it to us. And we're going to be praying still. Because see, I know too well in my spirit that something is erupting. I get what I'm saying? The power of God is erupting in a new way. Are you getting me? My auntie was talking with me a while ago and I was telling her, God has left denominationalism. God is moving. Are you get what I'm saying? I told us that look through history. You read look through history. Every time a revival happened, it was boxed into a denomination. Whenever it was not a denomination that started it. Are you get what I'm saying? Are we together? The first revival you read in that book, you see that it was in a denomination that started. When it's not a denomination that started it, it's boxed into a denomination. As soon as that Street Revival was boxed into the Apostolic Church. Are you get what I'm saying? John Wesley's revival, it was boxed into the Methodist Church. Are you getting me? Now, the reason for that was because of systems. Are you getting me? But God also can allow a revival move without boxing it into a denomination. That's the reason why when the likes of Billy Graham, their season was a season of revival also. And D.L. Moody was before the Billy Graham. Are you going to have D.L. Moody preached to over 100,000 people. And then he started with the children's church and eventually became a D.L. Moody church. You understand? He was a revivalist. Are you getting me? And then after him came the Billy Grahams. But the Billy Graham did not run a denomination. Are you getting what I'm saying? It didn't mention it was Billy Graham evangelistic organization. Are you getting me? So God can still do a revival without boxing on the denomination. Are you getting me? But we all have to understand what God is saying and what God is doing per time. There are new moves of God. I was talking to my auntie and I was like, God has moved beyond denomination. God is on the move now. And we have to move with him. She was like, the new move of God is God is heralding with you, people like you. Are you getting what I'm saying? People like you. God is heralding with people like you. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, we need to be sensitive to the move of God. And we need to understand the move of God per time. Because it's very paramount for what God is set to do in these last days. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's very paramount. As I was coming, the Lord dropped in my spirit. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. He says, Jesus was speaking, he says, and behold, I send you the promise of my Father. I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now, Jesus said, I'm sending you the promise of my Father. Are we together? Now, as at this time, the promise of his Father had not indwelt them. Are you getting me? It had not indwelt them. So it was still the promise of the Father. Are you getting me? But when the promise of the Father indwelled them in Acts chapter 2, it no longer became the promise of the Father. It now became the fulfilled promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit is not the promise of the Father. He is not the promise of the Father. He is now the fulfilled promise of the Father. Because the Father has fulfilled his promise. Once you get born again, you have a promise. He's indwelling you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's the fulfilled promise of the Father. But now Jesus told them, stay, tarry in Jerusalem until what? He says, he told them, and behold, I will do what? I send the promise of my Father upon you. But do what? This is a condition to be met for the promise of my Father to come upon you. What are you to do? Tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with what? Until you be endued with power. In other words, the proof to show that the promise of my Father has come upon you is that you be endued with power. Power is the proof of the what? Promise of the Father upon. I get what I'm saying. That's why the Bible says in Acts chapter 3, it says, and as we were together, there came cloven tongues of fire upon them. The promise of the Father came upon them with the sign of the cloven tongues of fire. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, Jesus, when he was being baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him in the body shape of a dove. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, there was always a sign to show the coming of the power of the Holy Spirit upon. Are you getting me? There was a sign from Jesus. There was a sign to show. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit does not live in them. Are you getting me? He comes upon them. The prophets prophesy, and when it's done using the prophesy, he lifts. Are you getting me? It's only believed that two Old Testament people had the Holy Spirit indwelling them. David, that's why I said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. From me. Take, because he knew that the Holy Spirit was in him. That's why only David was an Old Testament person who lived with a New Testament understanding. He was a king. The Bible says we are kings. And it was a priest. The Bible says we are priests. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 30, when they came back to Ziklag, and they saw that all their wives and children were taken and their houses were burned. And the people cried till they had no breath. And they thought of stoning to them. And he went to meet the priest, and he took the Urim and the Thummim for him. That device is only used by the priest, because only the priest can understand how God communicates to the Urim and the Thummim. There are two special stones, and when God is saying yes, it gives a light. One gives a light. Are you getting what I'm saying? When God is not saying yes, the other one gives a light. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you need to be trained in the priestly ministry to know the voice, to know the communications of God through the Urim and the what? And the Thummim. So how was David able to use Urim and Thummim? It meant that he was a king, but he was trained a priest. He had a priestly training, and that was given to him by God. Bible says, you are kings and you are what? And you are priests. And David wrote prophetic psalms, Psalm 69, Psalm. He wrote about the Messiah. Those were prophetic psalms about the Messiah. And so David was also a prophet. So a king in those days is either you are a king or you are a what? Or you are a prophet. You cannot be a king and a prophet. And a prophet must be one to tell the king when he has gone wrong. David had a prophet called Nathan, is that not so? And you cannot be a king and a priest, because it's the priest that ordains the king. Samuel ordained David, anointed David. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you cannot be more than one. But David was three in one: king, priest, and prophet. That's what the New Testament says. The Bible says, "You are king and you are priest. You are reigning on the earth." So David had a taste of the New Testament Christian life while he was still in the Old Testament. Are you getting what I'm saying? And he enjoyed it. So because he had that taste, that's why the Holy Spirit could indwell him. The Holy Spirit can only indwell somebody who is a king, a priest, and a prophet. Are you getting me? Are you understand what I'm saying? Because you have all it takes to bottle it, to carry the Holy Ghost. If you are only a king, the Holy Ghost cannot indwell you. If you are only a priest, he cannot indwell you. If you are only a prophet, he cannot indwell you. For the prophet, he came on them and he left. For the priest, he came on them and he left. For the king self. For the king, their matter was a special matter. They always had to depend on the priest and the prophet. Is that not so? Are we together? But David had the three in one. That's why the Holy Spirit could indwell. And that is what the New Testament saint is. You, as a born again child of God, the book of Revelation says, for we are kings and priests. And then in 2 Peter 1 verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. I may show for the glory of him, has called out of darkness to his marvelous light. So we are king, priest, and prophet. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why the Holy Spirit indwells us. Amen. John the Baptist was the next person that the Holy Spirit indwelled. And Jesus clearly stated and made us understand that of all the prophets of old, John the Baptist was the greatest. Why was he the greatest? Because he had what he did not have. He was a forerunner of Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? And the one who heralds the desire carries what other prophets not carry. And he could indwell him. But Jesus went forward and said, the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because the least person in the kingdom of God is a king, priest, and prophet. So, the Holy Spirit was a promise of the Father when Jesus was speaking here. Are we together?
Yes.
But by Acts chapter 2, he was no longer the promise of that. He says, and behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, upon, on top of you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the Holy Spirit was to come upon. Why? Because all through the Old Testament, he came upon. Are you getting what I'm saying? Even when the New Testament began, because when Jesus resurrected, the New Testament began, the Holy Spirit still came upon. In Acts chapter 2, he said they came upon them, what? Cloving tongues of fire. The Holy Spirit still came upon. Are we together? Then he says, you shall be endued with power. What's the proof to show that the Holy Spirit has come upon? Power. Are you getting what I'm saying? But in the end, it says, and they were what? Filled. In the Old Testament, listen to me. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Are you getting me? He spoke through them, but they were never filled. Are you getting me? Mm-hmm. Are we together?
Yes.
In the New Testament, he followed the same procedure. He came upon them. He came upon them in cloven tongues of fire. Acts chapter 2. I get what I'm saying? But he didn't just end with cloven tongues of fire. They were endued with power. The proof to show that he has come upon his power. But not only were they endued with power, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak in what? In other tongues. As the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. So there are three things to take note of here. The Old Testament approach, which is coming upon. Are we together? The New Testament approach, which is what? Which is filled with power. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are we together?
Yes.
And even that filled with power, see, have a little of Old Testament. Why? Because Samson, when the Holy Spirit will come upon him, what happened? He's filled with power. And he begins to carry a full city gate. He still has a little Old Testament understanding. Are you getting me? He still has a little Old Testament understanding. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because Samson was not a muscular man. If he was a muscular man, if he had muscle, he would have been asking, where is the source of your power? Because if they see muscle, they say, he used to go to the gym. That's why he's strong. Are you getting me? But they never saw muscle. So they say, this, your power is not normal. What's the source? Why? Because when the Holy Ghost comes upon him, Bible says, and then his head began, when they caught his head, the Holy Ghost left him. And when his head began to grow, the Holy Ghost came back upon him again. And when the Holy Ghost comes, he said, and the Holy Ghost will come upon him. And what happens? He begins to do things. Why? When the Holy Ghost comes, it's what? He fills with power. What happened in Acts chapter 2 was two Old Testament operations. Are you getting me? But there was one thing that happened that was not in the Old Testament. He says, and they began to speak in other tongues. As the Spirit did what? Gave them utterance. Speaking in other tongues is what differentiates the New Testament believer from the Old Testament believer. Because coming upon happened in Old Testament. Are you getting what I'm saying? Power happened in Old Testament, Samson. But Samson did not speak in other tongues. Are you getting what I'm saying? David did not speak in other tongues. John the Baptist did not speak in other tongues. What separates us is speaking. That's why you see there's this fight on speaking in tongues matter, even in church. Hey, what are they saying? How do you say that? There are different fights because that is what differentiates you and I from the Old Testament sense. You think God did not know what he was doing when he ensured that he spoke in tongues? The differentiating factor between the New Testament believer and the Old Testament word believer is speaking in tongues. Simple. So this is not the kind of tongue they spoke. This is the kind of tongue. So I don't have time to argue with you. But that's the reason that differentiates me from the Old Testament believer. Coming upon of the Holy Spirit, it was Old Testament. Power was Old Testament. But speaking in other tongues was not New Testament. It's New Testament. But you know what? It says here, there's a condition to be met for, because Jesus said, I did not come to destroy, but I came to what? To fulfill the law. So for him to fulfill the law, he must make sure that he follows the process of the law. What happened in the Old Testament was coming upon, filling with power.
He has to do those two. Are you getting what I'm saying? Before he does the one that differentiates us from the other, which is what? Speaking in other tongues. So he had to fulfill the first two before the final. And you see that the Bible says they were, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then what happened?
They spoke in other tongues. And the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Now, but there's a criteria that Jesus gave to them here. He said what? Tarry ye.
He said, tarry ye, tarry ye, tarry ye, tarry ye, tarry ye, tarry ye in Jerusalem, tarry ye. See, the criteria, when Jesus left 40 days after he resurrected, you get what I'm saying? So, between that day, he told them, 40 days, the 40th day, and this thing happened on Pentecost. Pentecost actually means 50. It was the 50th day, and it was a feast that was celebrated by the Jews. You get what I'm saying? So, 50 days, 40, and 10 days after Jesus left was what they waited for. I get him. But Jesus did not tell them, wait for 10 days. If he had told them, wait for 10 days, it would have been easier. You get what I'm saying? He just said, so how long are we to time with the Lord? So, he told about 500 people, tarry ye. Are you getting me? But by the time the Holy Spirit came, it was only 120 people left. That means 380 people went to go and do something more important than waiting on the Lord. Some of them say, we'll just be. Bible said they were in one accord, they were singing, praising, praying, giving thanks. So we'll just be staying like this, singing. I bet my friend and I'll be never going to feed them. I have business to go and attend to. Let me go and attend to business. And the other thing, I will go and come, don't worry. I know once you say you will go, you will not come again.
No, one of the painful things about the meeting of God, when God says, tarry, doesn't tell you the time.
Ma, see, forget that. I'm talking from experience. I know what I'm saying.
When I talk to the Lord tells me many things. I remember when years ago I said, what do I do to see ministry breaking? Lord will tell me, God is. I was doing different things. And so last year, I began to talk to the Lord. I said, God. And for the first time in my life, I had the Lord tell me, wait.
It was last year I heard the Lord tell me, wait.
Oh, I've always thought, first John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have that when we pray in His will, He heareth us. And if He heareth us, then we have received our petition. So with that understanding, we know that God does not say, wait. He only says, yes. He doesn't say no. He doesn't say wait. He only says yes. Because if you pray in His will, He hears you. And when somebody hears you, that's why you can answer. Is that not so? If you don't pray in His will, He doesn't hear you. So he cannot give you answer. So God only says yes. When you pray in His will, He says yes.
But I've never heard the Lord tell me wait. And last year the Lord told me wait.
And my brother, my sister, see, when God tells you wait, it's one of the hardest things to do. Why? Because it doesn't tell you how long you are to wait.
He told them, tarry ye in Jerusalem.
I think that the Peter should have raised up his hand and said, sir, I beg, how long are we to wait? Peter should have asked that question. But Peter forgot, he was excited with seeing Jesus. I said, hey, see Jesus going to. Let me tell Jesus when. And I said, but you know how long we are to wait? So let's go wait. When God tells you wait, He doesn't say wait for me. He's actually saying wait for me.
Wait. We don't wait for God, we wait on God. So when God tells you wait, He doesn't tell you how long you have to wait.
Why? Because if He tells you how long you have to wait, the purpose of waiting will be defeated. If God tells you wait for 3 days, you will manage to wait for 3 days. Is that not so? You manage. Even if it's not what you manage. But what God wants to do in you without waiting, you will not be achieved. Because you walked around it. Are you getting me? You walked around it. You just found a way around. Have you not seen people in a relationship? The lady will hide herself, her character. Does it not happen? She will hide her character, or the man will hide his character for 3 years, 4 years. When they marry,
it's waiting.
Waiting is over. When they marry, waiting is over. The true person will come out. I get what I'm saying. God does not tell you timing of waiting, because if He tells you the timing of waiting, it will defeat the purpose of waiting. The purpose of waiting, the Bible says, let patience have a perfect work. And He said, when patience produces what? It produces The purpose of patience is to produce maturity in you. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's to produce the love in you. Are you getting me? So when God tells you, wait, he will not tell you the duration so that he will be able to achieve what he wants to achieve. But if he tells you, wait for 3 days, that maturity that God will produce, it will not come out because you manage your way around. Because you know that 3 days will soon reach, no problem. 3 days, I will enter. That's why if a man says, don't worry, three years time I'm married, the woman will do all manner of things to ensure that in 3 years time she can manage. Are you getting me? Or the man will do all kinds of things. So that once the 3 years finish and the young man, as a man, he says, yeah, you're entering inside my prison. Let me show you why. Right. So if God tells you the direction for waiting, it will not fulfill the purpose of waiting. The purpose of waiting is to build maturity. So God does not tell us the duration of waiting. He said, tarry ye, go and wait till you endure. How long am I to wait? I don't know. Why? Because what is more important to God is what he's doing in me than what I want. I get what I'm saying? What is more important to God is what he's doing in me than what I want. But over the time, we have been concerned about what we want, not what God is doing in us. And so waiting becomes torture. When we look at what we want, not what God is doing, waiting to become torture for us. He said tarry. The word tarry there.
And when I was looking at it this morning, I was like, wow. Tarry is a Greek word, katizo. And katizo means to make to sit down.
When you go to an office, what do they do? They will tell you to do what? Sit down. You can't wait standing. You know the problem we have in Christianity today? We are standing and waiting. And we get that many times. We are not military men. We are not even soldiers. When they stand for a while, they sit down. Is that also? If you must wait effectively, you must do what?
Relax.
Sitting position is the position of rest. So when God says wait, he said you rest now. Rest in me. And rest is the act of trust.
Some years ago, when I was going through a lot of things in Congo,
I was going through a lot of things in Congo, and I told God, God, I trust you. And I heard the Lord tell me straight up. I heard him clear, told me, behave like you trust him.
I said, Lord, I trust you. And clearly, straight, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me,
behave like you trust me. No, that was. Now, so anytime I tell God, I trust you, I will reply myself, behave like you trust him.
Sit down until you be endued with what?
Power.
Be rest in God.
The people that are the most stressed up people are pastors. Because every day they are thinking of how the church will grow. Different strategy to grow church. Pastors don't know how to rest in God. I've been there. Church growth. Then think of your members. Pastors are the people that will teach you rest, but they'll never rest in God. But they sit down in God, but you'll never sit down in God. They'll keep on standing. The first one of them are standing on God. I remember had a child who is standing on you and telling you, give me, the child will frustrate you. So God says, sit down. Jesus says, don't come and stand on me here. Don't stand on me. Sit down until you be induced. Hello. Sit down. Why? Because there's something I'm working with you. Until I get it done, you will not stand up from that chair.
I remember when I'm preaching back to back,
3 years online, back to back, like nothing was happening. And I just can preach. Now I can go for another 1 hour again. Preach. How was I getting here? Some of you look at it and say, how does he do this thing? It was sit down.
This teaching grace, this teaching power.
It didn't come by mistake. It came with sitting down and in like preaching to my wife and children for 3 years. No audience. Only wife and children. Sit down. I'm doing something. I'm preparing you to be ready to preach 24/7. But son, you have to sit down. Sit down. Until you endure. When we got born again, the Holy Spirit was came on us and what? Endued us with power and gave us back filled us to speak in tongues. Now that we have this thing, why do we still have to sit down? Because I began to ask the Lord, now we are born again, we have the Holy Spirit, why do we have to sit down? And I did not know what this was all about, you know. And when we were praying, the Lord told me, power is in the devil. The Lord told me, power is in levels. Sir, when we finish level one of power, God will tell us again, sit down. Because you have to enter level two of power. Are you getting me? When you finish level two of power, God will take you again, sit. Because you have to enter level three of power. So as you change levels in power, you will always have to sit down to enter the next level. This is what we are crying for. My sister, this is what we are crying for. We have to go and sit down under the Holy Spirit. I cannot say.
When you go to university, you will not be standing for the lecture to be seated.
Exactly! You see that now?
This cadabra talk.
You cannot stand before the lecturer. It's not a lecturer that I'm teaching you. That was the Spirit that teaches. People say, teach us. What do you teach you? Now be standing. This will be standing. You choose with teacher.
You will finish the level 100.
You finish the level 100.
Level 200.
You see that again? Hey. You finish level 200. You finish level 200. No man. We are going to pray quickly.
We are going to pray. See, there is a grace to sit down. Are you getting me?
Because this revival we are crying for, it's not any other power. Are you not saying? It's not any other power that can command you to.
No.
It's not level 100 power that can command you to revival. Because the forces we are dealing with, they are level 300. Are you getting me? So we have to sit down under the Holy Spirit in level 300, so we can be endued with the power to deal with the level 300 demons. I cannot say. We have to sit down. The problem we have in church that people are not sitting down. Everybody is standing on God. God, give me hands, give me cap. That's standing on God. Give me hands, give me cap. We have to come and sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down.
You want to change level? Sit
down. You want to progress in power? Sit. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down.
See, there is a grace to sit down. Are we together? There is a grace to sit down. And it means to appoint, to confer a kingdom on one. So when Jesus said sit down, he was telling them, come, I want to appoint a kingdom to you.
Sir, we're talking about territories. Are you getting what I'm saying? Territories. Jesus telling them, I want to give you territories. But you know what? You have to sit down to get territories. A king, the Bible says, where the word of a king is, there is what? There is power. You never see a king standing to give decrees. Anyhow, he sits down. Because he knows that in a seated position is even more dangerous than those that are standing. It's a level of authority that makes you sit down. I get what I'm saying. Bible says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand until I make thy help thy enemies thy footstool.
It's authority that places you sitting. I get what I'm saying. And when you want to get into a throne, what happens?
Is the throne a standing position? What is it? It's always a sitting position. When they coronate kings, say, what do? They put them sit on the what? On the throne. Even Mr. President, he sits on what? Everybody in power sits. Nobody stands to exert power, sir.
So the sitting position is the most powerful what? Position. Because the position of rest.
We're asking the Lord the grace
to sit under the Holy Spirit for this next level of power.
That's great. How long have we seen it? I don't know. But my own is to sit. The grace to sit under the Holy Spirit for this next level of power. Let that grace fall upon me. And I receive it now. Is somebody praying?
Beloved, thank you for listening to this teaching. We believe you've been blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Kindly send it to us via email, chimdeoahunaministry@gmail.com. I would love to request, if you have not made the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, why not make it a date? Why not make this prayer today? Answer this call of salvation and repeat after me. Dear Abba Father, I know and accept that I am a sinner. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for me. I confess my sins to you and denounce sin and the devil. With my heart, I believe in and receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. With my mouth, I confess the Lordship of Jesus over my life. Thank you, Abba Father, for making me your child and for making me a new creation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you want to give your love seed of any amount to Grace Life Komi Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 0331545512013 with SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. And to give in CDs, you can still send via Universal Merchant Bank Ghana. Account number 0332545512017. And to give in Naira, you can send through Ecobank Nigeria, account number 554-102-0592. For further inquiries and mobile money payments, or even sending us a WhatsApp, kindly use the number +233-54-594-7132. God bless you. Jesus is Lord.